This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to our SME Showcase section of our Business Masterclass. With me in studio is our guest, Dwayne Liu. He's a life strategist and director at The Winning Edge. And also joining me from the previous show, Gowan Foss from Nolans in Johannesburg. So, Dwayne, tell us about The Winning Edge. What an interesting entity.
Are we on a 30-second pitch? Or
I got the... Okay, we maybe need to define that. Let's take a few minutes just to talk about what is The Winning Edge.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. The Winning Edge. Winning Edge is a company that my dad founded back in 84. And for over 30 years, our core focus at Winning Edge has been the development of life skills and leadership skills to primarily young people. So our core focus is built around upskilling and developing skills within the junior grades in order for them to create the, let's say the mentality for success of the future. It's a family-run business. I've had the privilege of being involved for 19 odd years now. Mm-hmm. And
you don't look that old. Okay, your age well then.
Thank
right?
you. That's it. So my dad still has a part to play. And we're very much partnering in this journey. I hope to at some point remove him from an operationals aspect. Okay. As every young person does. I've been given the privilege and the opportunity to manage the operations of my dad's business.
Okay, that's great. So tell us a little bit about why you guys started. I mean, what got your dad started and what drives your energy in terms of this engagement?
Based on the fact that we've just had elections a couple of days ago, we have quite an interesting story. My dad is Chinese, and interestingly enough, his journey into the motivation development business was a ticket out of South Africa. So just before I was born, he was looking at every opportunity to get into something that would provide a better life for him and my mom. And then over a few years got involved in the motivational business. Okay. He used to be quite involved with an American self-development company, and found that a lot of their content and structure when it comes to self-development and developing skills, again, without saying it too over the top, America really leads the way in terms of developing mindsets. So he developed with a group of teachers and psychologists the framework for our Cornerstone program, which is a young achiever program, which was catered for a target audience of young people. 30 years down the line, we've built a small business. Mm-hmm. I say small business in terms of the potential, but our goal is really to cater for the needs of a new generation of big thinkers, especially in South Africa.
Okay, so what is your, let's talk about your, maybe traditionally, routes to market. How do you interact with your market space? Yeah.
Primarily through schools. Okay. So we've again had the privilege over a long period of time to provide our Winning Edge and Young Achiever offering in more than 200 schools throughout South Africa. But we work primarily through the structure of the schools. So we would work within the school's infrastructure and cater for the needs of life skills and leadership skills on various different levels within the framework of the school. So we basically become a service provider to the school.
And a partner with the schools.
Say the word partnering quite carefully. Okay. More service provider.
Okay.
The same as any one of the other entities that work out of the framework of out of the umbrella of a school. So okay. We provide a service to the kids in a school, and then it becomes an opt-in if kids and parents choose to take up the offering of our programs. And then we do a lot of the supplementary skills developments for schools as well. We do a lot of leadership training for their higher grades, prefects, counselors, those kinds of things. And then we do staff training and personal mentorship as well within the school's environment.
Okay. Now, just let's talk for a moment about, how do you generate revenue as an entity? I mean, let's talk about the business side of the Winning Edge.
A challenge, of course. Mm-hmm. If I can go back. So, in other words, we become primarily, this is the cornerstone base of our business is through the school's infrastructure, although I'll tap on something else just now. So we work within the environment of the school. A parent that then chooses to enroll their child in a Winning Edge program We connect or engage via email, and then we create a an engagement of discussion, and then the parent would finance it. So in other words, if you have kids, you have a 9 or a 10 year old child, you would like to see the further development of your child. If we're working within your school, it's just a contact. We pick it up, we meet with you, and then you choose whether to enroll your child in a cycle. That's within the group work, that's within the school structure. Mm-hmm. And that's so that's up, if I can say, our bread and butter. So that's okay. our base business.
And the parents then contribute, pay for this, and this is a, let's call it a paying program per se.
Correct.
Now, how do you deal with community environments where perhaps there isn't the financial capability to meet those obligations?
Well, at the moment, we can barely do that. And that's, you know, we would like to be able to cater for more of that. You know, again, using my dad's upbringing as an example, we need to cater for people that have had lesser opportunity, and we need to cater for the community in terms of a lesser privileged environment, if we put it that way.
Let's call it an underfunded educational 100%. System.
So whilst the need is there, the interest for what we do is enormous. And I think where we're placed right now in South Africa, the necessity for developing the right mindset and having the right foundational base of skills development is as important as any other learning scenario that we need to expose our kids to. So yes, kids go to school, but there's so much that is needed in terms of developing the right framework for our mind. So we need to do that. And in the ideal set of circumstances, we would raise sponsorships for that, I think, to answer your question.
So, I mean, I guess the reality is in any business, one needs to look at the revenue models and say, well, how do I make this a success? Just out of interest, I mean, and we were talking earlier, tax, etc. I mean, what is the position that, you know, you've been around since 84. What is the position of the Winning Edge from a tax perspective in terms of, is it a tax-paying organization? Is it a non-profit organization?
How do you position yourself? We're a business.
Okay.
So, you know, as any business draws strength from, it's profit.
Okay.
So, you know, we're there to make a profit. We're there to build a business. Okay. So, yeah, you work through the challenges of tax.
I love it when a businessman calls it the challenges of tax. Okay. Now, I mean, in a business of this nature, I mean, you have a lot of competition out there. There's lots of different players in the market who are capitalizing on the need for self-development and growth. You've obviously picked a very niche market.
I was going to just actually throw that word in. I think without being too arrogant or maybe overly confident on that level, you know, within the schools aspect, there are very few, if any, who compete with us as an organization. And, you know, we touch on things like study skills and those kinds of supporting structures, but our core focus is developing attitudes and cultivating the attitude of productivity. So within the school sector, there's very, very little competition, which is good, but it also forces us to keep thinking about becoming complacent. Because when there's no competition, you can quite easily lose business by being complacent. So I was thinking about it on the drive. Yeah, the reason we are still an SME and consider ourselves to still be a relatively small business is that my dad's philosophy has always been quality over quantity. So you can succeed on a much higher scale. I believe we probably could, but losing the quality of that. But, you know, yeah, we've got very little competition in the market.
It's probably very rewarding. I mean, you're growing future leaders. I mean, you know,
developing from high school. When I dropped out of law school a long time ago, you know, this has been something I've been doing it, but I've never considered this being a job.
Just on that, I mean, we didn't ask you for your background, so you've just opened the door there and saying, law school dropout. Tell us a little bit more about yourself in terms of your personal background and the connection with the, obviously via your dad the one connection.
Well, two things. I think I supposedly was part of the dysfunctional foundation of the Winning Edge or our Young Achiever program. Struggled academically at school. Being back then, there was no label of ADD or ADHD. You were hyperactive and dysfunctional, And sometimes you fitted into the aid class, mm-hmm. and sometimes you were almost encouraged to leave the formal schooling structure. So I made it through school, but obviously totally underutilized my potential. And, you know, I actually at school wanted to be, before wanting to be a lawyer, wanted to be a professional sportsman. Mm. So that's where I excelled in school. But that was actually part of the reason why I went to study at RAL back then, because we had a good cricket and a good rugby team.
Okay.
And then, yeah, started and discovered through the journey of law that it wasn't something I was passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I actually fell into Winning Edge from a professional point of view because I was just looking for a job to make some money.
Okay.
And it turned around quite quickly.
Okay. So, yeah, the passion that we see today is a function of, I guess, being part of the system and being 100%. Being able to understand it. Now, just out of interest, I mean, you've started a business. It started in 84. How many people did you start with? Where is it now, size-wise? Let's talk about sizing.
Well, we are very small still. We have an office complement of within the Joburg region. I think it's 11. But we've almost had to redefine our structure and rebuild over that period of time. So before I got involved, my dad had a much bigger organization with some partners. Mm-hmm. And when I left school and started studying, he, in a nutshell, basically bought out the partnerships. Mm-hmm. And almost had to start from scratch in terms. So we've kept the brand for a long period of time, but in terms of the business aspect, we've reinvented it, and it has done so a couple of times since then. So okay. I don't think we're 100% polished in terms of our business model. It's totally it's evolving all the time. We're actually going through some adjustments. I was saying just shortly before this that we're building different aspects of our business, and the one space that is obviously of some challenge is that we're in a space where, when it comes to, let's talk about the numbers, the financial crunch of business, unless you're willing to change and look at new offerings, when crunch time comes on an economy, you have to either sink or make those kinds of evolutions.
So do you find that you're not a grudge purchase, but you're one of the first purchases that gets reconsidered when the times get tough?
That is the unfortunate reality. People will probably pay their bonds, then their cars, buy groceries, jump at school fees if you're paying private education fees, you know, as much as they'd like to pay us first, it becomes somewhat of a challenge.
My experience was that people actually pay their car before they pay their bond, and I always kind of wondered about that.
Yeah.
And then somebody so coyly pointed out to me, well, I can drive my car to my job, but I can't drive my house.
Yeah.
So if I want to keep my job in play, I need to make sure that I've got my car so I can get it.
Sorry, if I could just add one thing. We I mean, it's not as if we're typically working with the lower to middle class, you know, working environment. And we have a lot of very, very, very successful clients as well as, you know, we maybe think they're successful in terms of where their kids are at school or where they're placed in terms of their position in the office. But, you know, when the economy's tight, everyone's feeling it.
Yeah.
We do feel it.
I do think that if you're able to survive through those hard times, I mean, with the economy and in terms of good to great as well, I mean, it makes you more resilient as a business.
100%.
You know, and you can just rebound when the economy goes stronger as well.
Well, definitely. I mean, we've got longevity in our business.
Yeah.
And, you know, our track record has proven so.
No, definitely since 84, I mean.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, things might change, but, yeah.
Dwayne, I'm interested. I want to know what you do with the kids.
Okay. The nuts and bolts.
Yeah, not the nuts and bolts, but I mean, it's a fascinating space that you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a difficult business model, revenue model, because schools don't pay well and parents are under pressure. So I'm wondering whether you see a change in the uptake from parents, their willingness to put their kids through a cherry on the top type program.
Yeah.
Well, although I do know that some people say if you want to be in a sure business model, then work with the kids. You know, parents these days invest a heck of a lot into their children. In some cases, it's maybe as a bit of a soothing their conscience because they're never there with their kids. So they use lots of other ways and means to invest in their children and assist with their upbringing. But what do you, so you say you're very much into an attitudinal type
100%. Thing. So if I can maybe answer your question related to how we've had to sort of target our approach to the marketing aspect, and it's been received quite well this year, especially is that, you know, in a time where you have less to spend, our whole philosophy is spend it wisely. And, you know, I've listened to a lot of economists say where you should put your finances. And we've also tried to ride that way of saying, you know, when spend money on your kids where you can see future development that's going to, you know, be of some reward. So, you know, I think we've come to realize, and that's how we market our business. And that's not a farce or anything. That's the truth. You know, I'm a parent myself, and whilst my kids are in a great school, I cannot rely on their educational portfolio to get them through life. So on a daily basis, I use what we are teaching at Winning Edge to educate them on an attitudinal or mental sort of scale. But in terms of the nuts and bolts, so our heart is attitude, or the heart of our business is attitude.
And so what do you do with the kids?
On a weekly basis, we work with usually 10 to 15 students. And the core focus each week is to provide a platform for skills. And in doing so, we help them to understand or realize certain skills related to their life. So if I can just use an example, kids of 9 and 10 and 11 years old will hear the word attitude all the time, and often in the wrong context. Mm. So as we guide them through the lessons on a weekly basis, we give them, I think, a better understanding of perspective of how an attitude or developing the right attitude would benefit them on a practical level. So we'll use scenarios, we'll use games or activities or discussions in class to better demonstrate that. Mm. And then each week we have a very big sort of focus on reflection. So yeah, instead of journalizing, we actually guide the youngsters through a set of challenges or questions that would force them into application. And the truth is, if you talk to any young person as well as any adult, you can talk to them about tax, you can talk to them about business, about, you know, certain. And one of the most common comments is, oh, yes, I know. So we all know everything, yet we do nothing. Mm. So often that accountability or reflection is just forcing them to putting into practice or aiming to implement what they already perhaps know or what might have been highlighted to them in a particular lesson, and then setting a challenge on how they can implement it. Mm. So that's almost the psychology of the lesson. But we, you know, we scale it at different ages. So we have a junior program which is targeted at 9 to 13, and then we have a teen program. And whilst the content might be very similar and the core principles are exactly the same, the audience at 14 to 17 years old is quite different to the 9-year-olds. We're focusing a lot on being an influencer rather than getting influenced, on making your life successful through practical mechanisms like studying with schedules, simple things like that.
Oh, so a lot of practical skills. I mean, how do you sell it to the parents? I know walking in a shopping mall one day and a woman with a couple of young girls dressed like little models stopped us because we had our little girl with us and try to, I don't know, persuade us to enroll our child in this modeling school. But don't worry, we're not going to teach her to be a model. We're going to teach confidence. We're going to teach how to carry yourself, how to be a young leader. Yeah, sure. I just couldn't wait to get out of there because she kind of used these girls to sell it. A very good job, sure, to a large degree. I said, what are you saying? We can't teach that to our kids.
The question comes up to me all the time. What dysfunctional parent must enroll their child in Winning Edge? And you know,
how do you sell it to parents? I guess. You know, what's the outcome for my child?
It's drawing that balance between wants and needs, because what a child needs and wants might be very different to what a parent needs and wants. And unfortunately, in a day and age where ego shines through in most sectors, for parents, what the parent wants for their child is not necessarily what the child needs. Mm-mm. So it's trying to
achieve, and I hope my child can achieve in some cases.
Definitely. So what we need to do is obviously not discard that, but help parents through the time that we spend with them before enrolling the child to get a better understanding of what the child could really benefit in terms of the skills that are important for them right now. So it's, you know, and we'll draw strength from what we do in our program or from past students and things like that. But yeah, it's just finding that balance between identifying what the child wants. So when we start, all of our students fill in a little a reply slip, and they actually tick off various different aspects that they want to focus in. So they might identify confidence, or they might identify. And then when we meet with the parents or chat to the parents, we'll help them to have a better understanding of how that particular skill will get them on the right road to where they need to be.
And do you fall in line with the church, with the school's leadership program? So they have their matriculants, or they have their grade 7s?
In primary school,
so you've got your prefects or your leaders. Do you then typically take them on a journey or not necessarily?
It depends on the school. It depends. You know, in some schools, we have got the mandate to do leadership development. It starts sort of pre-prefect selection or counselor selection. So as an example, we'll go into some schools and they'll give us all their grade 6s towards the end of the year, either before they've chosen their prefects, or sometimes they'll send them to us on a couple of workshops before electing their prefects. So we fill different roles at different times. We can cater for it all, but it depends on the school's focus. But I think that the heart behind what the school really intends to focus on in terms of its school leadership, we very closely aligned with most of the schools. So it's really, we're there as the supporting tool.
Well, what are the Americans doing better than us when it comes to changing attitude or teaching attitude, positioning, as you said earlier? Because you kind of went and learned from that, and obviously have to adapt it to what...
No, 100%. Look, in terms of self-development, I think that they're just the leaders in it because they've been doing it a lot longer. Again, using maybe our upbringing and our lives to balance that is that, we always go on these hypes of listening to some of the great motivational speakers or motivational content that is coming out of the US.
They fly into South Africa and they have these big conferences and we fork out our money and they export our money.
Is it just a big load of hoo-ha? Because
mostly.
And again, the core focus behind our business is that there's no quick fix in life.
Mm.
You want to succeed, it's got to be progressive, and you've got to be at it. It's like going to the gym. If you're not going to the gym all the time regularly, you can't expect to maintain the same kind of results. And whilst when it comes to maybe the ideology of what comes out of the United States, content and principally great, but follow through is where we, I honestly believe that's where we're a step ahead of anybody in the world, because there's a coaching process, there's a mentorship process, there's a guidance. Mm. And it's when you're off track or when you're slightly off track, you can draw strength from a coach or a facilitator. And it's got to be reinforced. With young people, you have to reinforce things over and over and over again.
Mm.
And if you don't do it all the time, it can fall away. So you can be pumped for one session or two sessions, but how many people go in corporate training, or how many people are exposed to those great motivational speakers, and then 3 months down the line, they've reverted back to old mindsets?
Well, I was laughing and think to myself, I wonder how many people buy that book, the book, at the talk, and then actually don't get past the first chapter.
100%.
And I'm willing to bet if I go to the bookcases of most of, in fact, most of us in the room, we'll probably find a number of books where we got to chapter one and it just kind of died after that.
And if I can maybe go back to what we talked about, our organization still being a relatively small SME, we could have gone the route of selling books and tapes.
Hmm.
Again, from a content point of view, we've got world-class material, but it's that follow through. So we could take on 200 new schools, we could take on 40 new clients, we could sell content, we could pump them up for one or two sessions, but would that build a sustainable reputation?
I guess the big question then is, if you've been around since 84, have you stayed in touch with kids that have gone through your program, and tell us some stories there?
Without using specific names.
Well, if there is a name that you want to throw out that we may know, great, but just in essence.
Again,
now you can start seeing the fruits of your labor in some way.
You know, the beauty of it, I think, because the foundation of our junior program started when I was in school. So I'm engaging and encountering a lot of parents my age now who, when I get to present to them, they'll say, oh, sure, I was at Aston Manor in Kempton Park 20-something years ago and I did the Young Achievers program. Or I was at Northcliffe High and whatever. So, that's to me the exciting part of where we're at right now, because we are moving to that. In terms of the difficulty of highlighting the successes, because ultimately that's what everyone looks at, the tangibles, it is quite difficult, because are we then only identifying success based on what you achieve from an outward perspective? What's to say that the mom sitting at home, raising 3 or 4 children, running a very successful household, might have achieved so much out of one of our programs, but I didn't see it on Carte Blanche or in the Sunday Times.
Also, there are so many variables in the kid's life. You can't subscribe the success to one program somewhere.
There's so many factors to take into consideration. You know, and we do. We work with a lot of high-end students. So we've got kids that have got the 8, 9, 10 distinctions in matric. And, you know, it would be foolish for me to take credit for a child coming out of a good school saying he's got 8 credits. All glory goes to Winning Edge.
Richard, we're going to go with that age-old question.
Yeah, so my age-old question that I ask every week. Knowing what you know now, what do you wish somebody had sat on a radio show many years ago and shared that you would have been able to listen to and go, okay, I need to do that? So it's kind of that introspection, the ability to look back and then, let's call it, pay it forward and say, hey, watch out for this, because this is something that caught us or caught me. And if somebody had told me about it, I wouldn't have fallen in this hole and had to dig myself out.
So the words of wisdom or the advice from a coaching perspective. Mm-hmm. Look, to me, you've got to back yourself. And you've got to find that happy balance of risk and reward. Because are you willing to go through life never risking? Or looking back and saying, sure, I wish I'd done this more. You're going to have to take some risks, make them calculated, but be wise in your decisions.
Yeah. So be wise, take calculated risk, and know what the outcome is that you're looking to achieve.
And back yourself.
Back yourself and make sure that you back a winning horse. 100%. The winning edge.
Get the winning edge.
From business point of view, what do you wish you knew about running an SME that you didn't know then, but you wish you did?
I would have loved to have more time in probably a medium to large enterprise, having done a little bit of maybe internship through the practical elements, because what my business management book taught me at varsity is very different to actually being in a business, making the mistakes. So, you know, taking a practical environment for learning the skills would be something. And that's what we're trying to build through what we are engaging in the future with as well, which is, I'm sure, a topic for another time.
Another time. Great. Dwayne, Lou, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time. Thank you, Gowan Foss from Nolans. Thanks for joining us. If you want to join our studio audience, just a reminder, you can email Kevin at leadershipplatform.com. That's double P in the middle, leadershipplatform.com. Next up is the Transformation Platform.
This is CliffCentral.com.